We tell the stories of family businesses across the region, and this one is medical transportation management. Joining us in studio is Elena Mathia and Natasha Buchholt. We'll learn how their two families came together and how they took a business here from Missouri and expanded out to the entire United States. It's on this weekend's edition of the Business of Family Business. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, also in studio with us here today. Elena, let me ask you first, can you kind of give me an idea of the services you offer?
Sure. We provide transportation for people who need to access health care and might not have a vehicle or might not be able to operate a vehicle. So sometimes we're serving the elderly or the cognitively delayed or an impoverished individual that doesn't have access to a car but still needs to get to health care appointments to make sure that they stay happy and healthy. And our clients are generally the health plans that they are enrolled in. So companies that you know here in St. Louis, like Centene or United Healthcare. We also work for state agencies. And so we don't actually provide the transportation directly. We contract with transportation companies throughout the United States and we coordinate them, we contract with them, we make sure that they have quality services. We background check their drivers and make sure they have appropriate training. And we're really the back office function. We operate a customer service center and we screen eligibility, make sure they're entitled to have transportation access. And then we assign transportation to them with the most appropriate level of service and provider that meets their needs.
So you're based in Chesterfield?
Our corporate headquarters are based in Chesterfield in the Maryville University corporate park, but we have our operations center in Lake St. Louis, Missouri, and it's where we started our business.
Oh, okay. This is a big deal for a lot of people because obviously there are a lot of medical needs, and I've spoke to people that have all kinds of different doctor's appointments scheduled, and one of the things they run into is, you know, they'll ask family and friends, but it's a continued service they need, and they feel like they're being a burden, and the last thing you want is to be stuck in your home knowing you're missing medical appointments because you don't have a ride somewhere. It's a pretty terrible feeling. So this is a really big need, and you actually service more than just the St. Louis region. You're across the United States.
Yeah, we're operating in about 35 states throughout the country. We're doing over 14 million trips a year, and we contract with over 2,000 transportation providers to provide this service. And you're exactly right. We hear all the time that people delay care, which is not a great thing for improving healthcare outcomes, which is what all of our health plans are working on. So people routinely cite transportation as the number one barrier to healthcare access.
Yeah. When did MTM first begin?
We started in 1995. Lynn and Peg Griswold started the business. So Lynn is Natasha and my father, and Peg is our stepmom. Mm-hmm. Lynn was working at Blue Cross Blue Shield in St. Louis and found an opportunity that the health plans needed to contract for transportation services to serve the Medicaid population in Missouri. And Lynn said to Peg, you know, we're looking to start a business to take care of this combined family that we have of three kids on each side, so this Brady Bunch that we have, and they were looking at starting businesses like Blockbuster franchise, and so he said, Peg, go research this, and let's see if we can start a business to serve this this need, and that's really where the idea started. Peg actually founded the business. She's it's a certified WBE, and she put pencil to paper and figured out all the processes and went after the three health plans in Missouri that had won the Medicaid business for the first time. And they had started a consortium to contract with just one company. And a lot of companies came to the consortium and said, hey, I'm a taxi operator. I'm an ambulance company. I can do this. And they'd say to them, well, how are you going to serve Columbia, Missouri? Or how are you going to serve Kansas City, Missouri? And they said, oh, well, we'll just figure it out. Well, Peg presented MTM to them, and this was pre-PowerPoint. And so every time she had a question, they had a question, she'd flip the flip chart, and she had the answer. She had the business process. She told them how it was going to work. And they all three companies contracted with MTM for the business in September of that year.
So you almost became a blockbuster franchise in the midnight. That was probably the best business decision to decide against that.
Well, if we were working at Blockbuster, we would have bought Netflix.
No, oh, you would have made the right decision. So many decisions go into this sort of thing. Natasha also joining us here, and I wanted to get your take on all of this. Were you around in 1995? Were you part of the business then too?
Well, I was around. I was a student
okay.
at the University of Missouri, mm-hmm. Columbia. And I was hearing all about the activities going on back in Lake St. Louis in a small attic above a bar
okay.
with lots of music. So, yeah, we'd hear all about these startups issues going on, and Peg's two oldest children were there actually working, and I was in college, and I looked for an opportunity for a part-time job, and I was able to actually work at one of MTM's subcontractors. Mm-hmm. As an intern, and was able to get some experience for MTM on the transportation provider side.
Yeah. Their two families came together under unique circumstances. I want to talk to both Elena and Natasha about that coming up next as we continue the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. We tell the stories of family businesses, and we're always looking for new ones. Reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting, the website cmaconsult.com. If you know a great family business story we can share on this program. I want to continue our conversation with MTM Medical Transportation Management. This is a blended family. Can you kind of explain how everyone came together and then who's involved in MTM today and how all of that came about?
Well, we met at their wedding. And all the children, that is.
Uh-huh.
And
that's the first time you guys met, was the wedding.
Yeah. Most of us, you know, collectively.
And there's six total?
There's six total.
Right. Yeah.
The first time I met Peg.
Yeah.
Was, you know, I was in college, so I wasn't really around as much. And so really we had to learn early on to accept the decisions our parents had made. You know, this is going to be a family. You're going to make it work. So we were all young enough to appreciate and have fun and grow up together, but mm-hmm. old enough to understand that our parents were making this decision to be a family. So there was a lot of learning on how to be a family.
Yeah.
Everything from Thanksgiving dinner to family portraits, you know, to working in a family business.
Yeah. There has to be a lot of that collaboration, and that probably helped in the business too. There's a lot of different personality types you have to get used to in a business, and now you have six kids together trying to learn and basically figure out those same dynamics.
That's yep. right.
Which is pretty remarkable. So how did you guys get along at the start, all six of you?
Yeah. You know, I don't think there's been a moment where the six kids, you know, three on each side, didn't get along. Very, you know, Midwestern roots. So mm-hmm. both Lynn and Peg are from Kansas. The three three siblings on the other side are from Kansas. And they're just good people. We all get along. Peg works very hard to get all the family together. And till this day, we get together for things in the summer and every Christmas. And there's, what, 18 grandkids?
Wow.
And they all see each other as cousins. They don't see that this is my step cousin. They treat each other equally. They're FaceTiming each other, and they really do have a special bond, and that's really attributed to Peg.
Wow. I think that's pretty amazing. Of those six total, obviously you two are involved in MTM. Who else is involved?
Peg's oldest son mm-hmm. works for the business, and he works with our transportation providers and trains them. His wife actually works for one of our family businesses doing accounting. And then the other three siblings have all kind of done their own thing. Two of them have started their own business. So there's definitely a lot of entrepreneurial in our family.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to ask you about this. When you have two families coming together and then you have three siblings on one side, three siblings on the other side, they work together, they get along together. Is this kind of a unique situation for a family business structure?
Yeah, everybody uses the term blended family, but to listen to Elena and Natasha, I'd call this an integrated family, mm-hmm. not a blended family. Mm-hmm. Integrated's much more intertwined, and it sounds like that's what they've achieved, and mm-hmm. that's not easily done.
Yeah. So the early years, what did MTM look like then, and what services were you offering? Or does it look exactly the same today in 2019?
It generally looks the same. We're doing 90% of our revenue is still the same core business model, but we're much larger now, so the other 10% is some different products and offerings. We've moved into the transit world. So our main funding comes from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS. That funds Medicaid and Medicare, which is our major payer. But then on transit, it comes from DOT. So we're moving people around that are accessing general public transportation services and also helping transit agencies with different services they provide. But largely when we started, it was mostly focused in Missouri. We're serving Missouri clients. And so from then to now, we've become a national company. And that's been the big change.
Where do you mostly get your referrals from? Do people find out about you by their medical provider, or are they finding you online?
It's a mixture. Mm-hmm. So when they enroll in Medicaid services, they'd get an enrollment package, and it would tell them that they have transportation as a benefit if they're unable to get to their appointment. But also medical providers, medical facilities know that transportation is a benefit for Medicaid enrollees, and so they would educate them as well.
Yeah. Now everyone talks about picking up rides through the Ubers and Lyfts of the world. Do people look at that as an option for medical transportation, or is that pretty much frowned upon? It's probably better to look at other people. I don't know.
Well, it really depends on the population. We do partner with transportation network companies, TNCs. Lyft is one of our big partners. Mm-hmm. And we really focus on them as a provider to fill gaps and urgent trips and short notice trips. They really are a great solution in those areas, but they're also need to be assigned to people who can navigate those models. We have people that might have Alzheimer's or dementia, could be cognitively delayed or too young to ride in a Lyft type vehicle. Our drivers are background checked, screened, trained. There's an extra level of quality assurance. So we really try to make sure that we're assigning the right person to the right mode that they can safely be transported in.
I got to imagine there's some issues too with people with disabilities, in the sense for the accessibility of some of the vehicles that are pulling up. You need to make sure that matches who the driver is. So there's a lot of pieces you have to put together to make sure, because when a person is getting picked up, they probably need that medical care pretty urgently. They need to make sure they don't miss that. So probably one of the things that would be dreadful is if someone shows up and they can't even get into the vehicle to begin with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you have to make sure you have wheelchair accessible vehicles. And, you know, you do hear stories of people, a provider coming and not having a wheelchair lift, and then the person can't get to care. And so some of these individuals are accessing life-sustaining services like dialysis. And it's really important that they stay on their schedule. So it is a critical business. We always say it's not A to B. It's really A to Z. It's a very complicated system.
Where was the wedding when the two families came together? Was it here in St. Louis?
No. You know where it was at?
Yeah, it was Hutchinson, Kansas.
So
Hutchinson? On a lake.
Think it was Hutchinson, was it?
It was somewhere in Kansas, though?
Yeah,
Lake Waubunsee.
Lake Waubunsee,
yeah.
So how did you find yourself headquartered in St. Louis in the Chesterfield area?
Well, Lynn and Peg lived in Lake St. Louis, so it was a short commute.
1995, when did you start to see yourselves growing in the way where you're expanding to multiple states? And today in 2019, you're grown a lot more even since then. So when did you guys start seeing the growth, and what were those things you were doing?
So when I joined the business, that was in 2003. That's when we were still mainly serving Missouri. We had a few pieces of business outside. We were in Virginia, and we were also in Michigan. And we just saw that the opportunity with state governments was the place that we really needed to focus on. It's where the largest volume of business was at. And so we started to market our services directly to state agencies who were providing transportation, but not doing it through a managed model like MTMs. And it was great selling services back then, because you'd call a state client and say, "Are you having issues with transportation?" And they never hung up on you. They always had issues. And so we had a great model and a great program. So then we would educate them on how we manage services in Missouri, and then they would put out an RFP, and we would respond to it, and then we would have to compete for it. and hopefully win the business. And so that's how we really started to grow, and grow quickly, was through these large government contracts.
Wow. Are there any state-to-state regulations that may change the way that you handle certain clients in certain states?
Absolutely. Yeah. Every state has different populations covered, different medical services covered, and every state is unique in how they're delivering transportation. So you have to really understand the underlying model that you're taking over to make sure that you keep it intact mm-hmm. from a service perspective, but also bring it forward to a more managed model.
So it was that mid-2000s in that area where you started to expand to more states. At that point, how many states were you in? You said Missouri, Michigan.
We moved into Minnesota, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania. And so I'd say probably in 08-ish, so about the halfway point, well, about the third point from there, we were in about 10 states.
Right. And you're finding yourself duplicating the services here in Missouri, but you're just finding ways to service people in other states as well.
Yes. Yeah. It's a model that can be applied and grown rapidly. It's very scalable model.
What happened to medical transportation management, MTM, after they started to expand? We're going to find out next. Both Elena and Natasha continue their conversation on this episode of The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting, coming up next. Telling the story of family businesses on KMOX. It's The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Joined in studio with Natasha Buchholz and Elena Mathia. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. Telling the story of MTM, Medical Transportation Management. So how did your workforce change here at the headquarters? Did you have to hire a lot more people? Or what did you do to make sure all of these different states were getting served the right way?
I think when I joined, we had 2 people in IT, and I think now we have 165.
Wow.
So, you know, we definitely have grown a lot in headquarters. We've acquired a technology company out of Kansas City called Reveal Technologies for that Uber Lyft-like GPS real-time tracking scenario for our members and for our transportation providers. But we've grown from IT to process improvement, quality, operations. Our contact center has now 800 seats. And under Natasha's leadership, we've moved to the work from home management model. So now we have 200 employees that actually take calls for us from their home.
Wow.
Which is a great evolution of our company.
So Natasha, let's talk about that. Being able to find people that can do these from home, that probably helps a couple of different things. Space, for one, you're talking about 200 people. They have the ability to work from home and do this from home. That probably alleviates a lot of the space problems as the company continue to grow.
Absolutely. It really helps us tap into talent that's anywhere in the country. So we're not necessarily having to compete with local contact centers in various states, but we can draw that talent anywhere in the country. And with the flexibility of technology, you can take calls with the same security and the same, you know, protocol enforcements, and actually less training usually is involved because they're working from home and they can handle all of their work right there from their home. There's also less travel. So we're able to really attract a lot of great talent that way.
Yeah. Let me ask this real quick to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. When companies grow, and you've heard they go from 2 to 150, and then they're looking at, you know, 200 people and seats, that's a pretty unique way for some businesses that may have a certain size of their location or a certain constraints on their physical locations to get creative in order to continue to expand.
The being able to use people who work at home and don't have to come into an office is a great economic gain because you don't have to provide an office, a facility. Benefits may or may not be provided, and it's easier to attract people because you tap into a segment of the workforce that may not have a car, may not be able to leave their home, may have a small kid that they can do something at nap time. There's all kinds of ways where this adds value to the company at a much lower cost than just full-time employees in-house every day.
With medical transportation management, and when you talk about the way we see people's very private information needs to be secured, mm-hmm. and you're working with some pretty secure information. You said you had to hire a lot more IT people. Is that what they're primarily working on to make sure that everything that should be private stays private?
Yeah, we have three core areas. First of all, we're high-tech certified, so all of those work-from-home agents work through our Citrix platform to ensure we're keeping people's information secure. So that's infrastructure and security. Then we have our core team that is developing and our core database and the Reveal technology, modifying it and growing it to be compliant with contracts and also give that real-time experience for everybody. And then thirdly, our telephony team. Mm. So we're managing, obviously, a large amount of calls. So that team is critical, too.
What do some of the statistics look like? How many calls are you guys making in any given day? And how many people are you helping transport in any given day?
Well, if we're thinking that we're doing 14 million transports a day, we'll just use 14 million trips a year, 200 work days. So what does that, quick math, is that...
You say 14 million a year?
14 million trips a year.
Wow. How do you organize that many? I mean, to me, that is an overwhelming number. I don't know how you would do it. So how do you even begin to keep that level of quality, organize all of these things so you can get everyone where they need to go?
Well, we have a great training team. In fact, our training team has won numerous Stevie Awards. They engage our staff to make sure they really understand the management model. But it really comes down to having good infrastructure from an IT perspective, good processes, so it's that people process technology component. And you have to be constantly scaling, finding your bottlenecks, finding root causes to problems and solving them. And it's a high transaction business, and that's key to success.
Yeah. Is there a command center somewhere where there's a lot of screens and active data floating around?
Yeah, if you walk into any of our contact centers, you'll see the screen. It'll show how many calls are in queue, what's our average wait time. We have to meet 30-second speed to answer requirements on all of our contracts. So we have a workforce management team that uses sophisticated technology.
Is there some sort of ownership that's already been transferred to the second generation?
Yeah, we were really excited last year that Lynn and Peg trusted us enough to allow us to move to the second generation ownership structure. Natasha and I are the majority owners from a voting stock perspective. Mm-hmm. And then the common stock is spread amongst the siblings with the people working in the business with more. But everybody has participated, and The four that aren't really in the management roles are very supportive and are great business partners for Natasha and I.
So how did everyone come to that decision, the way that it was structured?
Yeah, I think it's a long-term planning process, one that CMA really helped us with. Mm. We, it started with family meetings and open communication and dialogue, which was difficult in the beginning. But over time, the more we met and the more we shared information, the easier it got. But we always used professionals and third parties to help us because it takes some of the emotion and family dynamics out of the mix and makes it more logical. And with that, with good help and good counseling from companies like CMA, we were able to successfully do that.
You know, and let me ask this real quick to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. So when you're going through certain meetings and you're discussing what to do, having someone that's impartial that could look at this from a business standpoint, that probably helps ease a lot of the tension that makes these decisions difficult in a family.
So when a family gets together, the dynamics you typically see are dinner table dynamics. Mm-hmm. Now, all six of this next generation did not grow up at the same dinner table, mm-hmm. but we still have dinner table dynamics. When there's a guest at the table, we all use better manners. And so the facilitator becomes a guest. So it just by the fact that there's an outside person in the room tends to elevate everybody's level of discourse, and they don't interrupt or they listen better. And so it helps. And then the facilitator knows tricks and techniques to try to make sure everybody gets involved at the right time in the conversation. Mm-hmm. They listen, they take breaks, we watch the tension level. we diffuse it, we do what we need to do to help the family move toward its goal and not get caught up in the family dynamics or what happened way back when or whatever.
And you
so, yes, that facilitator can be very helpful.
And you can look at how certain people are in more of a leadership role. And then in their case, there's some that have more of a voting stock than others. And the way that this MTM is structured, what's your kind of thoughts? Is this something that's common when you have maybe six siblings together? Not all of them are active, but you're also trying to figure out who's right for the best role and decisions and then find a way to structure the ownership from there.
So I think Elena and Natasha were in the leadership roles for a number of years, and they developed this trust and openness and communication among with their parents and with the blended family before they became shareholders. Mm-hmm. So I think you said shareholders last year.
Yeah.
So Elena came in 2003, so she spent 15 years in the business and working with the family before she got to be a shareholder. So she very much, everybody who has stock, which is all six of them, they all clearly own that.
We'll continue one last time with MTM Medical Transportation Management with both Elena and Natasha joining us in studio, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Record. If you have a family business story that should be shared on this program, make sure to reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. Their website is cmaconsult.com. We're always looking for new guests to bring in a studio like we have here today. One last time with Elena Mathia and also Natasha Buchholz from MTM, Medical Transportation Management. You know, I wanted to ask this both to both of you, and we talked about this earlier, and we kind of joked about the Blockbuster. You could have opened a Blockbuster franchise, but didn't. But you had the foresight, and one of the things you mentioned was we would have been the ones that would have bought Netflix, you know, the business decisions. So how do you look at the way you run the business today and make sure you're not making a Blockbuster mistake? How do you know you're being proactive? How do you know you're making the right decisions? And are you always looking for the next opportunities for ways to grow the business?
I'll say that we made plenty of bad decisions along the way and over the years. I mean, to think that we didn't do that, all of us, whether it was investing, starting a new line, a new business, nothing was always a slam dunk, and you still are taking risks. So I think what we've learned over the years, though, is we have a more pragmatic approach to those risks. We also know what we're willing to risk versus what to hold back on, and we're wiser by experience. So it's easy to look back and say those things now, but I think experience goes a long way, and really good partners and mentors. Obviously, CMA is one, but that's really helped us.
Is Lynn and Peg still involved?
They are. They are.
Yeah, absolutely. Lynn and Peg are still on the board. Yeah. Lynn calls us all the time with his ideas. You know, Lynn's the quintessential entrepreneur, and Peg is the pencil to the paper. And we always say it really took both of them to start this company and manage this company, and neither one of them would have been successful on their own.
But you have your own visions, too, of course.
Absolutely.
How receptive were they when you started to pitch some of your own ideas?
Oh, they were so supportive.
Yeah. All
of us have had opportunities to grow new businesses. They supported us both financially and emotionally, and you know, just from a mentor standpoint. So we've all had that, and I think that's helped us also establish our own identity and give us our own.
How does the next generation play into this? Are there any of the third generation that currently do anything at MTM?
No.
Not yet?
They're all still pretty young.
Yeah, they would be.
Yeah, they're all still pretty young, but they're very proud of the business. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll talk to my girls about the business, and, you know, they care about it deeply, and they want it to stay in the family, and they want to be part of it long term.
How has the family managed reinvestment into the business and distributions to the other family members?
Well, I think that what's always been key to MTM success is that the business is funded to be successful long term. You know, it really, the business has to be successful, otherwise the family's not successful, and it's a high growth company. So, you know, the family's pretty much all in with the value of the company you know, from a wealth standpoint. But that's, we do minor just distributions, like a normal company would do dividends, and it's, you know, 5% of net income, because it's important that the family does establish wealth outside the business so that they're not feeling like they have to sell the company, because if they don't, they have nothing else. So there's, it's a fine line. You want to make sure the company is successful, but you also don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. But you definitely don't want to starve the company from its cash that it needs to operate.
So when you were establishing stock and ownership and trying to set all of that up, was the very first meeting everyone on the same page? Or what was that very first initial meeting like?
Well, the first meeting wasn't really about distributions. It was just more about talking about the company and people's roles. And it was a very emotional meeting for Lynn and Peg, because as parents, they want to take care of all their children. And they want to make sure everybody feels valued and important, just as we do. And so there were moments when we were talking about difficult things like generational transfer and estates and trusts. And so that all kind of tied to the fact that Lynn and Peg at some point are going to pass, like we all are. And that was hard for some of the siblings. And then if people started getting uncomfortable and Lynn and Peg could notice it, they were getting defensive. And so just that first initial meeting of, hey, we're going to talk about these really difficult subjects all together out loud in a room was challenging.
Yeah.
Well, and we should point out that it was 3 days of this meeting.
3 days,
yeah,
like a summit.
It wasn't a meeting. It was 3 days, and it was raining outside, and it rained for 3 days. And so we all thought, well, it's raining, so we'll just stay in here and keep talking. And we, you know, I think what we, looking back, we could have used a break. We could have left for a day. We didn't need to just...
A pressure cooker.
It was a pressure cooker. And then by the end, I think we all just, like, you know, let loose. But yeah, it was pretty intense. And as Elena said, it was really just, that's where the trust started to build. We, you know, we came in on that first day not knowing a lot of what each other thought or what was going on our minds. And so we really started that sharing and learning. And that was the beginning of
Actually, Jamie Wolf, who works for CMA and who was there leading the meeting, she has the best quote I've always used, is she said that all disagreements come from misinformation or lack of information and communication. So we work really hard as a family to over communicate so that we avoid disagreements.
You know, I want to mention this to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. The first meetings, when you get everyone together, Is that always the most difficult meeting of the ones that you put together?
It may not always be the most difficult, but it is going to be difficult. That first family meeting typically does not go well. Every family member comes with different expectations, different hopes, different aspirations, different issues they want to talk about, different perceptions, and they find out nobody's lined up. Parents are used to be able to influence the family. Well, they got adult children in their 30s, and guess what? They're not as influenceable as they used to be. And so it ends up usually everybody gets very frustrated, and sometimes they swear they'll never have another family meeting, and yet they do. And the thing is to persist and to keep moving. And Elena said, this is where we started. And they found a way. They kept going and they kept building on the good stuff and not letting the tense dynamics and the tough conversations derail them. And they just keep moving it forward. And after a number of years, they're in a very good spot as a family and as a business.
Do you guys need anything? Are you looking for anything in order to continue your growing?
Well, we're always hiring. So we'd really recommend, if you're interested in being an at-home work from home agent, that you look at our website, www.mtm-inc.net, and look at our job openings. We also are always looking for quality transportation providers, and we do work with some independent contracted drivers throughout the country, and they can access our website as well.
mtm-inc.net. And normally you keep things updated on the website, so if there's a certain need, if someone wanted to check out and see if they can fill that, that would be one of the places they can do.
Absolutely.
Elena and Natasha, it sounds like you have a really good relationship with the other family members, and it sounds like you guys really work close to each other, which is always an encouraging thing to see for a family business. Is there anyone you want to thank?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to thank, well, obviously, Lynn and Peg and our siblings, each one of them, Gail, Angela, Jason, Derek, and all of our children collectively, and my husband, Alex, who I love very much, and I know Elena.
Yeah, Daniel, both our husbands help us and work in the business in some capacity, and so it really truly is a family business, so we're very lucky and fortunate to have a lot of support.
This is your Oscar speech. You're
yeah.
Able to
yeah. Are we getting the
music?
Yeah, are we getting the music? And I also want to thank our employees. We have an amazing, dedicated group of employees that work really hard for us and are part of our MTM extended family.
And of course, outside of your family, there's a lot of other people you work with.
Yeah, absolutely. We have thousands of transportation providers throughout the country who really are, you know, what hits the rubber on the road, and we couldn't do our job without them and our clients who entrust services to us, their Medicaid recipients, and making sure that they get to their appointments safely. So that's our job one.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, let me ask you about the story you heard today. What are your impressions?
It's a great story. It's a story about a couple in their second marriage, and with each person bringing three children to the marriage, and how they integrated into one unified family. The business has obviously done very well. It's grown a lot. And much of this growth is due to everybody that's worked there. But in the last 10 or 15 years, a lot of it's due to the two ladies who were on this show today, along with support from a strong family, a strong team, and a strong workforce. The ownership has moved to the next generation and did so in a fashion where that each member has a different size of slice of ownership. That's fairly rare. And to do that, and to do that well, is a reflection of the trust and communication and transparency that goes on among G2 and across both generations, G1 and G2. It's just a great story.
Medical Transportation Management, Elena and Natasha, thank you so much for coming in here and sharing your story on the business of family business.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.